Do you know how this is?
Yes, they must be playing.
Two days ago.
I didn't speak for me.
Again? What do I say? The same? Is that better?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I can see the wind blowing on the bathroom window.
Let's see.
Okay, let's see. Repeat your birth.
Good morning. I'm Margo Hunt, and I'm at the home of Ed and Cynthia Risley at 5398 Depot Road in Chicopee, Virginia. We're interviewing them this morning as part of the Oral History Project for the library. It's August 21st, 2007. The first question I'd like to ask you is how you came here, how did you come to come here, and secondly, how did you come to have this wonderful house?
That was all a long time ago. We used to come here. I think the first time was in 1962 or 3. And we stayed at what my children called was Mosquito Haven, which is on Maddox Boulevard. And the car broke down. We had come for a weekend, and the car broke down, so we stayed longer. And in doing so, we really liked the place.
They had just finished the Maddox Bridge over to Assateague Island. And not too many of the Chincoteaguers ever used that bridge. This was an alien country to them. But to us, that made all the difference in the world, because we came because we enjoyed the beach and the wildlife. And we didn't think too much about the town itself, except as a logistical support base. So...
Did you stay at the campground ever?
No, we're not campers. We couldn't do that.
Where did you stay after?
We stayed sometimes with the lady on Piney Island.
I can't think of her name now, but her husband was a fisherman. And she had two or three cottages she used to rent over there.
So,
and all our friends stayed there, and so we used the same cottages and came here.
And at that point, there were no motels open in the wintertime.
Oh.
And we liked it because we could have heat over there.
Yeah, we did come in the early spring. But,
well, how did you happen upon this house?
Well, that was another story. We were visiting somebody else over at so-called Clark's Landing for the weekend. And there were two houses full of guests from Washington, D.C. or Alexandria, Virginia. And Sunday morning, we didn't know what to do, so we got in the car and drove up and down the side streets, supposedly looking for a house for us. And we saw this little handwritten sign out in front of this house. So we knocked on the door, and a very nice man came to the door. And we trooped in. He told us that his wife was at church.
It was Sunday morning.
Yeah, it was Sunday morning, and his wife was at church. And she would know more about selling the house than he would, but he would show us through. We were embarrassed when we left because we realized he was in his stocking feet and his shoes were carefully left by the front door, whereas we all tromped in our sandy sneakers and went through the whole house looking at it. There must have been five of us, I think. But we knew then we wanted the house.
So that was 25 years ago or 30.
Close to 30. So 30. You came back the following Wednesday and talked to Mrs. Jackson and signed the papers then and there. But that was early May, I think. And
what year was that?
Probably 1977, I think.
Yeah.
And we did not take possession of the house till September.
We had tried for a couple of years with Island Properties, and we weren't communicating. They kept showing us inexpensive places that were pretty crummy. And
it needed a lot of attention and loving care to put in working order.
Finally, they showed us a house, and said, no, no. And Mr. Vesely said, I don't think you know what you want, and don't ever come back here to see me. And he got very upset with us.
But we have been friends since then.
What were you doing up in Washington, and where were you living up there? Ed?
We lived in a place called Holland Hills, and it's a very progressive subdivision of Alexandria, Virginia, and it's in Fairfax County. And several people there had purchased houses over here before us.
Yeah.
And there's one who's still here. That's Jean Grave on Eastside Drive. And she knows a lot more about how they discovered it and so on. Someone else bought an abandoned chicken house. And they were relocated out west and asked us if we would look after their house. And they had cleaned it up some.
And no more chicken.
Since then, I just liked the idea of being able to have a pied-à-terre, you know, some place to leave things when you came over here. And prices in those days were pretty low. People still remembered the great flood of 1962, and the prices hadn't gone up. So it was really, to our mind, a bargain. We'd been going up to Bethany Beach, mainly north of Ocean City, and that was fine, nice beach, but much more expensive and didn't have the character that Shanksy had.
What was your work up there? How did you work? What did you do, Cynthia?
Well, you at the shop.
Oh, I just worked for a friend. Actually, Jean Grace. She ran a children's store, and I was one of her salespersons, and then later on became one of the owners of the store. But that was after my children were grown.
Oh.
Oh, what?
I'm trying to think. You've always been busy doing something.
Oh, I was a volunteer in their school.
At Burgundy School.
Yeah.
And at Junior Village.
Mm-hmm.
Ed, what was your work?
I'm trying to remember because every 3 or 4 years I would change. But
government. You work for the government.
I worked for different branches of the government. For a while, I was in the Pentagon. I worked at the Academy of Science for a couple of years. I worked at the Department of the Interior.
Science?
Yeah, by profession, I was a geographer. A geographer covers many fields. But I ended up at Interior Department working with satellites to take maps. And I enjoyed all the jobs I had, so there's no problem. Maybe when we bought the house, I was at the Pentagon.
Well, that was in 1977. You've seen lots happen here. When you got here in 1977, tell a story, I guess it was when you got here, tell the story about the Judith Johnson and the road that was being proposed to go down Assateague Island, would you?
Well, I was just a bystander reading the newspapers, but I was impressed that Judy was so determined and managed to rouse some public opinion that was opposed to a road. It seemed to be such a logical thing.
What was the proposal, Ed?
To run a road all the way down the middle of the island.
Assateague Island
from Chincoteague to Ocean City. And there were plans drawn up. Every so often there would be a development where they were allowed to build motels and things.
Leon Ackerman was pushing it.
He was up in the north end. But Judy did have some influence with her garden clubs and so on. The Fish and Wildlife Service privately was opposed to the idea of a road.
Why did they oppose it?
Well, they could see that this area, which was unspoiled, would become Ocean City, you know, a developed area. And John Gottschalk was one person at Fish and Wildlife who was privately lobbying against it. But Judy managed to get to the senator, what was his name? Not Mathis, but...
Sarbanes?
No, that was later, wasn't it?
This was a man. Your father knew him.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But they gave Judy an award one time, and the senator walked up and put his arms around Judy and called her a heroine. That was a high point of Judy's life, I think.
Well, what has she done, actually?
Just lobbied.
And prevented the road from going through?
Yes.
And what year was that? Do you remember? Was it in the 70s?
It was in the...
Do you remember what the feeling on Chincoteague was toward that road?
I don't think they cared.
I think that to the extent they were business people, they looked forward to more traffic, more visitors, more tourists. And I'm pretty sure they were unhappy about the road being stopped. But
In your opinion, was it a good thing that the road was stopped?
Yeah. Well, God intervened here and caused a great flood, the flood of 62. And that completely covered Assateague, and persuaded people it would be a good idea not to try to develop the land, leave it to the ponies. So that's what happened. I consider that some of us who came down here were a new wave of interest, people interested in wildlife as well as the beach. And Chincoteaguers did not grasp what was going on. In my opinion, they
made fun of plumber's eggs.
They couldn't understand why people would come here to look at birds. To them, that is unfathomable. And there was a prominent businessman who owned Landmark. Name was, well, it'll come to me. And he wrote a letter to the Beacon, or the local newspaper, deplored the fact that these
come here.
Yeah, well, they were people who drove VWs and didn't spend any money. They just came over here to look at wildlife. And in his opinion, they were a nuisance. And the real clients of Shinkity were hunters and fishermen. Well, I took a copy of that letter and ran it in the local Audubon newspaper.
In Washington.
In Washington. And my comment was that we should not be hostile to each other. We should be working together because the birders who came here needed a place to stay, a place to eat their meals. And Shinkatikers could use the business. There's one person who took that to mind. That was Kelly Conklin. Kelly came around and said he understood my letter. And I had to understand that people here are a little backward. Kelly's a graduate of the University of Virginia, so he's considerably more advanced. And his parents were come-here's. So, I, along with a few other people, got together with the manager of the refuge. At that early date, it was J.P. Apple. And we formed a Shinkity Natural History Association. And for the next 10 or 20 years, I was active in it, held office and one thing and another. We managed to get some come-here's to join us, and Kelly was one of them. But otherwise, there was no interest by the Shinkatikers. And that's when I began to realize that the Shinkatik mentality was separate and distinct from the outside world. And then we had, examples where we could try to help change things in a positive way. I wanted to introduce Shinkity children to Assateague Island, which most of them didn't know about. There was a school teacher named Jan Nichols, and Jan was come here from New Jersey. She was very outspoken.
You better be careful.
Yeah, Jan finally got in trouble, but she was teaching in the school. She was very popular with the kids. So Jan wanted to take classes out to Assateague and walk them around, show them some of the wildlife. And the school principal said he wouldn't object to her doing that. But that they would have to have parents volunteer to go along as chaperones. And Jan couldn't raise any support from her parent group. So I volunteered to go one time. And she finally did get a few groups out there. The only other thing to say is that Jan's principal suggested once that she should get closer to the local people and she should join a church down here. And she said that would be hard for her to do because she was Jewish and there were no facilities. Jan subsequently left the school system and now works on the island. Last I knew, she was working at the laboratory for...
Not anymore.
No, she doesn't do that anymore.
Ed, do you know anything about what the Chicopee Natural History Association is doing now?
Well, they're good size, and they have programs and invited the showing of the Rachel Carson
movie. No, play.
So I think they're pretty worthwhile. The idea is they run the bookstore at the refuge, and the profits from that go to the refuge. And every refuge manager always has a wish list of things he would like to do that he cannot get funds for. So this provides him with something.
How about the lighthouse?
Well, the lighthouse is a Coast Guard property originally. It still is. But it's all automated now, and they don't have a need for the buildings there. And it's been a kind of a task to keep them in order. And the Fish and Wildlife Service regards the whole hook part of the Assateague Island as a nesting ground for three species of birds. The skimmer.
Blubber.
Yeah.
Blubber.
And the blubber. And that to them is very important. So they would not allow traffic through for 3 or 4 months of the year during nesting season. Other people have felt that it could be part of a chain of bed and breakfasts or campgrounds.
Okay, how about the kayak trail? Is that part of that?
I understand it was, yes. And the whole idea of the kayak trail is fine, but if you get into something like a bed and breakfast where you have to bring in supplies by automobile, it's not so good.
Well, what was the relationship of the Coast Guard, the old Coast Guard station, to that idea? Of the kayak trail and so forth. Where did the kayak trail, where was that proposed to go?
It was on the Assateague Bay side, Chicopee Bay. And it was supposed to go the length of the island, which is 60 miles.
Well,
there's a very primitive campground right at the state line now. So if you want to hike up there, you can stay overnight, but you have to bring your water and everything.
And their proposal was to have a string of campgrounds, kayak, and then stay overnight at the campgrounds?
That's right.
And then have the Coast Guard station as a bed and breakfast, right?
Well, that's what I've heard. Well, the Fresnel lens is a fairly rare thing, but we had one here at Chicopee that was sitting out there in a chicken wire enclosure, and people used to throw coins at it for good luck, which wasn't good for the lens. The lens is actually 1,000 pieces of mirrors that are all put together.
And where was it?
And it was sitting right next to the lighthouse, a little sign identifying it as
Maiden.
What they had used for many years.
Maiden France, wasn't it?
But it seems as though they could take care of it better. And one Coast Guard, no, one refuge manager, Apple, drew up a plan to have it have a do a replica of the top of the lighthouse and put the lens in it. But that didn't seem could use of the lens. Well, the idea was that the Natural History Association was invited to raise the money and
to do what?
To build a shelter for it. And we got a local architect to design a very attractive and it was decided that we needed $40,000 besides that, well, to build the shelter and maintain it. And a good-spirited person in Chicoty came forward and said that he would give us the money, provided that he could put a plaque in there identifying his parents. I think it was her parents, maybe. As the in their memory, and everyone agreed that that was okay to do. But at that point, someone in Chicoty discovered that there was a trade in Fresnel lenses, and that this lens was worth, who knows, $500,000, large sums of money. And they thought, well, you know, this belongs to us, we in Chicoty. Up until that point, they had taken no interest in it at all. But away they went. And they had influence with the local congressman.
They being the Chicoty.
So they had a hearing down the shore someplace, and a representative of the association went, made a presentation, but we should have a copy of the presentation around. I think I have it. There's quite an interest in lighthouses, and a very active group of people who follow that sort of thing.
And where is the Fresnel lens now?
Well, if it had been on the government property, it would have been available for all visitors to admire, but they put it in a small museum run by the townspeople, and they thought they would be able to support the reconstruction and so on by charging dues.
Not anymore.
But not anymore. You could walk in free now and look at it. But they're not restoring the lens to its full ability. So that's a case where the Chicoteers won out.
Oh, it's in the Oyster Museum, is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oyster and Maritime.
Uh-huh. Well, that's an interesting story, and all of your stories are interesting, and thank you very much for being being our guest this morning. We've enjoyed it a lot.